Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa six-week sermon series natin sa Book of Genesis, The God of Abraham. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. He promised him a son, na magkakaroon siya ng anak sa kanyang asawa na si Sarah. And we know yung situation ng dalawa, both of them are old. At saka yung age na ni Sarah ay hindi na pwedeng magbigay ng bata sa mundo. But he trusted and hoped on God's promise. After 25 years of waiting, God answered his prayer and Isaac was born through his wife, Sarah. Tapos last week, God tested Abraham by offering his one and only son, the son that he loved, na si Isaac. Now, this is a climactic demonstration of Abraham's faith. At nasaksihan natin last week ang faith at love ni Abraham sa Panginoon when he agreed to offer Isaac. Pinigilan ng Panginoon si Abraham, he passed the test, and God reaffirmed his promise to him that he will multiply his descendants and will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Now, the central core of Abraham's story is in chapters 12 at 22. At gaya na nabanggit ni Pastor John last week, chapter 22 is the last time that God spoke kay Abraham. We will still hear something about his life pagdating sa chapter 23 and 25. Pero after ng chapter 23, yung passage natin ngayon, yung mga susunod na chapters, Moses, the author of this book, will be focusing more on Isaac at ng kanyang mga pamilya. So ang passage natin ngayong umaga is about persevering to the end. Perseverance ng ating faith, ng hope sa Panginoon. And so my prayer sa atin lahat ngayong umaga is as we continue living as foreigners in this world, waiting for the Lord's return, that we would see that God is indeed a promise-keeping God, and that we would continue trusting His promises in the midst of unfulfilled hopes and prayers. I pray that we would keep waiting in faith. A life of faith is to live in light of God's promises. A life of faith is to live in light of God's promises. We have divided this passage in three headings. Number one, the death of Sarah. Number two, the securing of the land. And number three, the burial site. Now, I will go through yung narrative na ito and give its context. And eventually, we will give a few applications towards the end. Number one, the death of Sarah. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arab, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, makikita po natin clearly sa verses 1 and 2 na naka-record ang death ni Sarah. Si Sarah lang ang kaisa-isang babae sa Bible na naka-record ang edad nung siya'y namatay. Kaisa-isa. This indicates her significance in God's plan. She passed away at a ripe old age of 127. Hindi nabanggit ni Moses ang dahilan ng kanyang kinamatay. Probably he does not see it as something that is significant sa story. Pero sa biyaya ng Panginoon, inabot pa niya na naging 37 ang kanyang anak na si Isaac. Inabot pa niya. Nabuhay pa siya to see her son to be a 37-year-old mature man. Abraham and Sarah had been married for decades and had been wandering together sa wilderness ng Canaan for a very, very long time. Surely marami silang pinagdaanan sa kanilang marriage. Maraming sorrows and struggles. Maraming mga ups and downs. Ngunit sa kabila ng mga ito, sa biyaya ng Panginoon, their marriage persevered and their faith grew stronger. Sanay silang magkasama all their lives. Sanay sila kumain ng sabay, sabay sila matulog ng sabay, sabay sila bumiyaya at maglakad ng sabay. Sanay po sila na magkasama sila. But now, Sarah's dead. And Abraham now sojourns alone. Abraham loved Sarah. Kaya lubusan niyang kinalungkot ang kanyang pagkawala. Isipin niyo, sa edad na 137 years old, itong mama na to still mourns and weeps for her deceased wife. 137 years. Sa ancient Near Eastern custom, when mourning for the dead, it included loud cries. Hindi ito yung parang pag namatayan ho tayo sa ating pagkakaunawa sa panahon natin is may lamay, may pagluluksa, of course, and from there we move on in life. Pero dito sa ancient Near Eastern custom, pag sila'y nagluluksa sa kanilang mahal na buhay na namatay, kasama po dyan yung paghagulgol ng malakas or yung loud cries, shaving of head, tearing of clothes, wearing sackcloth, sa mga alabok nilalagay sa ulo, nakatapat sa sahig, to express deep sorrow. Madalas pong makikita yan pag naminamatayan o may isang malaking trahedya na nangyari sa buhay ng isang tao. Kaya kung siya nag-express ng ganon. We see that sa Book of Job, which we have preached years ago. Just a side note para sa atin ngayong umaga. Ang pagluksa sa pagkapanaw ng mahal natin sa buhay is an appropriate response kahit para sa ating mga Kristiyano. I remember in the Philippines, sa isang wake that I have preached on, sa isang wake service, I remember itong isang individual na kung saan very close siya sa namatay. No one sees this person na umiiyak malungkot. In fact, very bubbly and happy pa siya. So I asked this person, how are you holding up? Ay, ako, Pastor, praise the Lord. Walang-wala talaga. Talagang masaya kami. Ako, alam ko naman, nasa Panginoon na siya. Kaya alam ko, praise God, na nasa Panginoon. So that, nalilito ako sa kanyang expression. Pero towards the end, sinabi niya, it's because kailangan ko maging malakas para sa pamilya ko. But hindi ho kailangan ganun. It's a normal response to weep, to mourn, to cry. Death is not natural. It came through sin. Hindi disenyo ng Panginoon yan. Dumating ang kasalanan sa mundo, and then death followed. Death is scary. Kahit alam natin na isang mananampalataya na pumanaw ay nasa Panginoon na, ang pansamantalang pagkakahiwalay natin sa kanila ay ramdam na ramdam pa rin natin. Damang-dama pa din ang sakit ng kanilang pagkawala. So friends, if you are right now, if you lost someone you love, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to grieve. Hindi po ito senyales ng kawalan o panghihina ng pananampalataya. Hindi sinabi ni Apostle Paul sa 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 na don't grieve. Instead, sinabi ni Paul is while grieving, Christians are to demonstrate the hope that they have in Christ. Christians are to demonstrate the hope of the gospel. So we mourn or grieve well with hope in the resurrection of Christ and His return. Ang final enemy na natatalunin ni Christ ay death. Christ's defeat of death began when He resurrected from the grave, and He will finally defeat death on His second coming. That's why ito yung hope ng Christian sa mundo na to. Ito yung tunay na joy natin is yung pagbalik ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Kagaya nga nabanggit sa Revelation chapter 21, death shall be no more. And we will be with Christ and those who have gone before us for eternity. Yun yung final hope ng Christian. Hindi itong mundo na ito. We are aliens and strangers and foreigners. We're pilgrims. That's why we should not be too comfortable sa mundo na ito. Our true joy is not found in the things we can buy or the things that we have or things that we can achieve. Ang true joy ng isang Christian is Christ. Death is like a door. Na pagbukas niyan, you enter eternity. The question is, which eternity ang pinag-uusapan natin dito? Eternity with God, His blissful presence, or eternity with God's wrath in hell? So for the Christians, the hope that we have in Christ, in this world, is Christ. So if you lost someone, it's okay to mourn, as long as we're mourning well as we trust Christ. Sarah died. Sarah died before the promise was fulfilled. It was partially fulfilled. Kasi nakita niya si Isaac. Pero yung fulfillment na pinakako ng Panginoon na magkakaroon siya ng maraming descendants, hindi niya nakita yon. Pero pinangahawakan niya yon. Kahit hindi niya nakita yon, she believed that God would fulfill His promise. Isaac is a guarantee for her that God will. So friends, Sarah died in faith. Hindi kayang pukawin ng kamatayan ng mga pangako ng Panginoon. Sa panahon ni Abraham, kapag mayroon namatay na miyembro ng pamilya, it was customary to bury the dead kung saan siya pinanganak or ancestral land. So ang ginagawa kung sila ay kahalimbawa sa Canaan, babalik po sila sa kanilang homeland. Egypt, kunyari. So Sarah's death gave Abraham an opportunity to show his faith in the promises of God. Nakahamon muli ang pananampalataya ni Abraham, hindi ba? Dahil sa pagkawala ng kanyang asawa. Instead of going back to his homeland to bury Sarah, kasi pag gagawin niya, maaaring pag ginawa niya, maaaring siyang manirahan doon, maaaring siyang maging komportable ron, maaaring makalimutan na niya yung promise. Pero hindi yun ang ginawa niya. Hindi yun ang ginawa ni Abraham. Abraham showcased his faith by buying a piece of property from the land where the Lord promised him to secure the land, which is your number two. The securing of the land. Let's read verse 3 to 4. And Abram rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered Abraham, Hear us, my lord, you are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choices of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. So sa verses 3 to 6, lumapit si Abraham sa mga Hittites para bumili ng cave or tomb para mailibing ang labi ng kanyang asawa na si Sarah. As you will see later sa verses 10 at saka 18, nasasabi na nasa city gate or nasa gate of the city si Abraham noong publicly in-announce niya ito. Now, ito ang lugar where negotiations happen and are legalized. Napaka-busy po ng gate na ito. Nandiyan ang mga elders, and every time may proposal or may purchase or may barter na mangyayari, dun po nangyayari. And publicly, dun po yung, so to speak, pirmahan, nililegalize lahat. So yung paglapit nito ni Abraham sa city gate is really he's trying to formalize or legalize yung kanyang request. That's why malakas marahil ang mga boses, ang boses niya nung binitawan niya request para marinig ng lahat. Notice in verse 4, he addressed himself as a sojourner and foreigner. Ito ay isang technical na legal term. Sa madaling salita, Abraham is acknowledging himself bilang dayuhan. Isang foreigner, isang resident alien sa lupain nila. At wala siyang karapatan gumawa ng kahit anong demands. Yun po yung posture na ginawa niya. Alam kong dayuhan ako rito at wala akong karapatan magbigay ng kahit anong request sa inyo, lalo na sa lupa. Kaya nakikiusap lang siya na bentahan siya ng piece of property, a cave, a tomb, na kung saan ililibing niya yung kanyang anak, ang kanyang asawa. The Hittites collectively responds kay Abraham ay nagpapakita na they honor and respect him as they address him as Prince of God, or sa rendering ng NIV, Mighty Prince. Alam nila na si Abraham ay mayaman, isang mayamang individual. Alam nila na mayaman si Abraham sa alagang hayop. Alam nila na maraming siyang mga tauhan. Alam nila na meron siyang isang maliit na army to protect him. They also know that in the past he has defeated the 4 eastern kings by his small army. And they also know na kamakailan that Abimelech made a covenant with him. So they know that he is a powerful man. They know he's a prominent man. They know he is a rich man. They know that God's favor ay nasa kanya. And so they honored and respected him. Kaya na parang tila bagay napaka-generous ng offer nila. The Hittites responded to Abraham's request by offering to share one of their tombs, kung ano man ang magustuhan niya na ng libre. Sige, pairamin ka namin ng isang tomb or grave. Huwag ka na magbayad, O Mighty Prince. Now, hindi malinaw kung bakit inalok nila kay Abraham ang libingan ng libre o bakit hindi binenta dahil hindi ho nabanggit. However, some say, gaya ni Abimelech, they know God's favor ay nasa kanya. Kaya takot sila that God would go against them kapag hindi nila pinaunlakan ang kanyang request. Some believe ang pag-loan ng lupa kay Abraham would obligate him and his descendants to serve them as their lords. Balang araw. Some believe, but regardless na marami mga paniniwala kung bakit hindi nila binebenta yung lupain na to kay Abraham, one thing's clear, ayaw nilang magkaroon ng lupa si Abraham. They don't want him maging landowner. Kasi if that was the case, if magiging landowner siya, magkakaroon siya ng mga certain rights under the Hittite law. And kapag lumaki at dumami ang descendants nila, that would be even a threat sa kanilang lahi. At alam ni Abraham na maaaring ganito ang mangyari. Alam ni Abraham na ayaw nilang bentahan siya, so he became more specific sa kanyang request. Ayaw niya ng hiram. Tingnan natin yung verses 7 to 12. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land, and said to them, "If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Okay, tanyo, in your sight. So he's making it public. He's making it formal. He calls out a name. He became specific sa lugar. Now, Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron, the Hittite, answered Abram in the hearing of the Hittites of all who went in that gate in that city. Verse 12. No, my Lord, hear me. I give you the field and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. So verses 7 to 11, Abraham respectfully bows to them again, sa mga Hittites, and persists that the Hittites would sell him a grave or a cave. Nakikiusap na siya na, bentahan niyo na lang ako. Mas naging specific siya sa kanyang request. O sige, actually, interesado ako sa lupain mismo sa cave of Machpelah na kung saan pagmamayari ni Ephron. He made it very specific. He is requesting that the Hittites intercede for him. Ephron, the Hittite, was there at the gates of the city. Nadinig niya yung request. At hindi lang niya inalok ang cave, ang ginawa ni Ephron, he offered the field. Hindi lang kuweba. Buong field, pahiram ko sa'yo for free. Mukhang napaka-generous ng offer ni Ephron sa kanya, pero we know that this was insincere. Kasi alam niya na kapag namatay siya, ang kanyang mga anak under Hittite law could demand the return of the land sa kanyang mga descendants pag namatay siya. Pwedeng gawin yon. Alam din ni Abraham ito. Okay? O kaya naman, kung nabenta ito ng mura, or ng maha, ng mura, pag namatay rin siya, is pag tumaas ang prices ng ano, pwede niyang singilin. So pwedeng may tendency na pwede silang abusuin. Dito na nagsimula ang bargaining process ng dalawa. Remember, ang gusto lang ni Abraham ay ang cave, at cave sa Machpelah, pero ang inoffer ni Ephron kagad ay ang kanyang field. In a way, he was asking Abraham yung price. In short, parang minaneuver niya yung negotiation. Kailangan naman. Buong field. Ayan. And from there, hoping na ibenta. Yun ang motive talaga niya. Genesis 23, 12 to 16. Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, but if you will hear me, I give the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead. Ephron answered Abram, my Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abram listened to Ephron, and Abram weighed out for Ephron the silver that he named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So 12 to 16, nagkaroon ng haggling. Alam, Abraham expresses interest to purchase yung property. Pero ang sinasabi ni Ephron, kung sinasabi ni Ephron, Abraham, hindi. Kunin mo na po. Ano ba naman 400 shekels of silver lang naman ang halaga niyan? Walang wala sa atin yan. Ikaw pa. Huwag na. Ikaw yan eh. Di ba? So in short, what he's saying, we're both rich men. Ano ba naman ang 400 shekels of silvers? Kunin mo na, ba't pa kita pagbabayarin? So yun po yung nangyayari po dito. Now we know na hindi siya sincere kasi nagbigay siya ng presyo. Samantalang ibang mga tao sa hita, sige, kahit ano ituro mo sa'yo, ito nagbigay ng presyo. Actually, he was overcharging Abraham. Sobrang mahal po yung halaga na yun. Sobrang taas ng kanyang presyo. Kasi 1,500 years from that incident, Jeremiah bought a field for only 17 shekels. Gusto mo na talagang, hindi hukik, bakang tawag dito, ninanakawan na niya si Abraham. Sige mo, 17 shekels of silver lang after 1,500 years. Pero sa kinagulat ni Ephron, Abraham agreed to pay the amount. Abraham fully paid for it. Hindi na siya naghagel. Hindi na siya kumurap. O sige, yan ba? O sige, ito. Nasyak din si Ephraim, no? Because Abraham knows by faith that the whole land of Canaan is rightfully his. He knows that by faith. Sinabi ng Panginoon sa kanya yan. And paying the price, he guarantees that his children will not be slaves to the Canaanites. Kailangan kong bilhin to ng mahal. Bibilhin ko talaga to. I'm securing this land for my descendants. Para hindi sila gawing alipin o palayasin ng mga Canaanites. Ito ang kauna-unang lupa ng pagmamay-ari ni Abraham sa Promised Land. And he used it to bury his wife. Which we lead to our last point, the burial site. Verses 17 to 20. So the field of Ephron and Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area was made over to Abram as a possession in the presence of the Hittites before all who went in the gate of his city. After this, Abram buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as a property for a burying place by the Hittites. Ang mga maraming details ang nabanggit dito, no? So ang mga details na na-mention dito sa verses 17 hanggang 20 regarding sa pag-purchase ng field ni Abraham, tapos nabanggit pa ron pati yung mga puno, ay nakasaad lahat sa Hittite Treaty document, which is very interesting. In short, ang mga nakasaad na details dito sa verses na ito, okay, ay nakasaad din sa details sa documents ng Hittite law, ng document. Itong documents indicated that the field, the cave, and all of its trees are included in the purchase. And that this was fully paid. Sa kanya siya talaga ang pagmamay-ari. Isipin mo yan, mga nakikita mo mga puno na yan, lahat yan, bayad yan, naka-account lahat yan, yung halaman na yan, yung bulaklak na yan, yung puno na yan, yung kuweba, lahat yan. Of course, I'm just exaggerating, pero ang point dito, ultimo yung mga puno, naka-account. So paano kung, I was just thinking, you know, crazy thinking, paano kung kiniklaim mo yung puno na yan? Hindi kasama yan sa biniyaran mo. But that's how they detail yung documents na ito. So what is this all about? This is Moses is telling his original readers that yung property was fully secured. It was a fully secured contract. Walang magpapaalis sa kanila ron. Sa kanila na yon. Sa pag-purchase ng land na ito, he gave an inheritance to his descendants that assured them of the properties for years to come. So, si Sarah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his wives, Rebecca, Leah, would all be buried in the cave sa field na ito. This, friends, this is a story of Abraham's hope and faith. Hope and faith in God's promise. Alam niyo, Abraham could have doubted God nung namatay si Sarah. He could have just doubted God. Tinapon na niya ang kanyang faith sa Panginoon kasi namatay na siya without seeing the divine promises fulfilled. Hindi nakita ni Sarah, so pwede siya manghinaan ng loob, pwede siya mawalan ng mananampalataya. Yet Abraham persevered. He bought a burial field as a sign of his confidence in the Lord's blessings. Both Abraham and Sarah died bago na sa katuparan lahat na mga pinangako sa kanila. Yes, it was partially fulfilled, pero yung pangako of a land, pangako of descendants, hindi nila nakita yon, pero pinanghawakan nila yon till they died. They believed that God would fulfill His promises even after their lifetime. Ganyang kalalim ang kanilang pananampalataya. They continued living their lives in light of God's promises. Kasi Abraham and Sarah lived the pilgrim life. Tanggap nila na they were foreigners and temporary residents sa mundong ito. Tanggap nila na hindi talaga sila sa mundong ito. They look forward for something better. That's why sa Hebrews chapter 11, the author have expressed kung ano talaga yung nasa heart ng dalawa. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise. Hebrews 11, 9, 10 to 13. Yung binasa sa atin ni Pastor Eric kanina. As in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward, he, Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. These all died in faith, Abraham and Sarah, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having knowledge that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Abraham and Sarah died before the promises of God were fully realized. Both of them see things not through the physical eyes, but through the eyes of faith. They were hoping for something that is greater. They're hoping for something that is eternal. They're hoping for something that is satisfying, that the world that they live in could not provide. Both of them died in faith. Both of them died well. Mga kapatiran sa Panginoong Jesus, lahat tayo are waiting. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we know that our ultimate hope and joy is Christ and His return. Lahat tayo are waiting for that glorious return of Christ where He will wipe away every tear in our eyes and we no longer will suffer. We long for that day that we will be with Jesus. Our peace, our joy. We long for that. Are you longing for that? Are you waiting for Him intently? Are you actively waiting for Him? And if you are, tulad ni Abraham and ni Sarah, we too may die before Jesus returns to place. At tulad ni Abraham, ang confidence natin sa Panginoon at ang kanyang salita should enable us to know that all His promises sa atin will surely come to pass, even if they must come after our lifetime. What are you hoping and praying for that God would answer in your lifetime? Is it salvation of loved ones? That you long to see your children fear the Lord, come to a saving knowledge of Christ? Is it your husband or your wife? That every time you share the gospel, you can sense this hardness of their hearts rejecting the word by dismissing you, by dismissing every word na sinasabi mo. Friends, if that is you, persevere. Keep praying. Keep sharing and living out the gospel. Don't lose hope. Mga kapatid, is it magkaroon ng asawa? Is that what you long for? You would like to see before the Lord takes you home? Gusto ko makita na makapangasawa ako, Pastor. Well, Pastor, I'm praying and praying and hoping and hoping and parang nakakapanghinayang na, Pastor, nanghihina na ako. Pastor, parang walang-wala na siguro talaga. Well, friend, I urge you, keep fighting for holiness. Keep fighting for purity. Keep trusting God's word na hindi ang non-Christian ang sagot. Keep trusting the Lord. Is it a sin struggle? Keep killing it. Mortify it. Is it physical? Mental? Pain? Or issues? Friends, keep fighting the good fight of faith. Run from sin and cling to Christ. Keep hoping on to the promises of God, even though you don't see results. Even though you don't see results. Friends, are you living your life like foreigners and strangers of this world? Or are you living as if you are locals of it? Abraham bought a piece of land in faith in order to secure the land God promised him. Friends, are you investing for the future spread of the gospel with what the Lord has entrusted you? Are you investing your time? Are you investing your resources or money? Are you investing your energy, your talents for the spread of the gospel, for the building up of brothers and sisters? Where are we investing our time, talent, and treasure? Is it for worldly concerns or worldly joys? Kaya napakahalaga po, mga kapatid, to be part of a local church. And it's important not just to be part of a local church, it's also important to gather with God's people regularly para mapaalalahanan natin ang bawat isa sa katotohanan na ito. As you think of your talent, time, treasure, look around sa auditorium na ito or sa hall na ito. Look around and see how you can invest on one's spiritual well-being. Think of ways of how you can advance the gospel through the ministry of this church. Think about your talents that God has given you, your experiences, your wisdom, your knowledge. Saan mo ginagamit yan? Would God say, I am glorified? Or do we say, glory me? Look around. Kanino mo pwede invest ang buhay mo? At kung ikaw ay nandito ngayong oras na ito, and you make no sense sa mga sinasabi ko rito, and you would say, I don't know, hindi ko sure kung may relationship ako sa Panginoong Jesucristo. If that is you, then napakahalaga po na magkaroon ng relasyon sa Panginoong Jesucristo, because you will not receive the blessings that God promised to Moses, to Abraham, sa lahat ng kanya mga descendants or spiritual descendants. You have to have a relationship with God, not through your good works, not through your treasures, not through your talents, not through your time. You can have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. God sent His Son, Jesus, in this world. He is not from this world, but He became man. At the same time, He is very God. Very God and very God, truly God and truly man. He lived this, walked this world, lived a life that none of us could, because it was flawless, perfect, and righteous. None of us could do that, but He did. He lived a life that none of us could and died the death that we deserve. So that those who would turn away from their sins and trust in Christ's finished work on the cross, trusting His life, death, burial, and resurrection, shall have everlasting life. God has given you time. It's a gift. Ilan taong ka na ba? Now, don't say it out loud. Talaga hindi ko sasabihin kahit personal, pastor. Pero you are called to steward yung time na binigay sa iyo ng Panginoon. And the truth is, we don't know how much time we have left. God has given you time to live for Him, to glorify Him, to advance the kingdom of God in and through you. So we must live a life. Hindi lang iniisip natin yung mga kasiyahan at kasarapan dito sa mundo. We should live a life na kung saan that would live a life in light of eternity. We should live a life that would honor and glorify our God the Father. And so this is a story about persevering. This is a story about perseverance. I know kapag pag tayo may pinagdadaanan na kabigatan o suliranin sa buhay o kalusugan o issue sa relasyon, it's hard na magpatuloy sa Panginoon. We have this innate tendency na tumawalay sa Panginoon. Gumawa na sariling diskarte ayon sa ating laman at hindi sa Panginoon. I urge you, listen to the story dito ng chapter 23. This is a story about persevering to the end. It's a story about fighting the good fight. It is a story about trusting in God and His promises. It's a story about waiting on Him even when hopes and our prayers are unfulfilled. May God grace us to walk in a way katulad po ni Abraham at ni Sarah. Because a life of faith is to live in light of God's promises. Let's pray. Salamat, Panginoon, sa yaman ng inyong salita. Salamat sa paalaala. Salamat na through your word and your spirit, maaring merong kahong niligtas dito ngayong umaga. And we praise you for that. Kung wala man, I pray, Lord, na patuloy niyo ipaalala ang ebanghelyo sa mga nakarinig. I do pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us the coming days. Cause us to persevere in the faith. Lord, we ask you that you would bless it. Strengthen our souls. Help us to keep believing till the end. And help us to invest everything that you have entrusted to us for the glory of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.